Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air, we're online, and streaming live video to Facebook and YouTube, and we would love to hear from you on this edition. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and we're having a bit of a thunderstorm outside, so when you hear thunder, it's not really to emphasize what Bob Christopher is saying.
We are having a thunderstorm outside, and here in Texas, those can be quite loud and sometimes quite scary. But today is the beginning of Holy Week. Yesterday really started. I think the most significant week for all Christians the world over, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. It's the single most important event that has ever occurred in human history. It's the greatest story that can be told in human history, because once a person gets connected to it, once a person gets caught up in the story of Christ, and that becomes their story, everything changes. The world changed 2,000 years ago when Christ was raised. When we're raised from the dead spiritually, that's when everything changes for us. So this is a very significant time. And I just pray that pastors out there will tell this story with passion, with clarity. Get the message out there. You know, there are so many churches today that, you know, think, oh, we've heard this story a million times. We can never hear it enough.
Amen.
We can never talk about this story enough. We can never tell people enough that Christ died to take away sins, that Christ was buried to put an end to that old way of life, and he was raised again so that we could walk in the newness of life. That is the story.
Yeah.
And boy, it's our story if we're believers in Christ. So if you're a pastor, please tell that story with passion, with conviction, with clarity, with purpose. Let people know that you're not bored with Jesus. I think there's a lot of pastors out there that are bored with the story, and so they bypass, they overlook, they maybe sing a song, but they don't tell the story from the pulpit. We need to tell this story. Why? It is the most significant story that has ever been told. It's a story that can change your life, has changed every single believer's life. And boy, once it does, you'll never go back.
Yeah.
You will never go back to what you once were. As we started the week yesterday, we started with some horrific news coming out of Egypt, some bombings of two churches, 44 Christians dead, over 100 injured. ISIS took credit for that, targeted those Christian churches specifically. Why? Because to them, Christianity is the enemy. Over the past several years, more Christians have been martyred for their faith than at any other time in human history. I think latest statistics, 11 Christians every single hour lose their life, 100,000 every single year. So as believers, we need to pray for one another, be aware of what's happening out there, and lift up prayers to Christ Jesus on behalf of brothers and sisters in the Lord all around the planet.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is necessary to do that. I think that's our most powerful weapon at a time like this, is to pray, is to ask the Lord to protect and to change the minds of people with belief systems and ideologies that are so adamantly opposed to Christianity in such a way that they are willing to kill because of their ideology. So we need to pray. We need to be praying for Christians all over this world. So as we start this particular week, I want to start it in a passage that's not usually related to resurrection, but I think it's significant because I think we lose a sense of the real power of the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection. It's just something that we say, we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, but we're really not attaching everything that we are to that truth. And I think it's time for us to really hold some strong convictions, to really say in the depths of our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, that resurrection is the plan. It is where hope lies. Without resurrection, there is no hope. So we really need to connect ourselves to this story in a deep way. And boy, the disciples had a hard time doing that. It took the power of the Holy Spirit to really open up their eyes. And in chapter 16, starting in verse 21, we read this. And, you know, up to this time, Jesus had taught many things.
Yes.
He had used parables as his form of teaching. And now he was going to give some information to them just straight up, plain, clear, just black and white. You know, you can't miss what he's saying here. So he says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. So that's pretty clear language,
wow,
isn't it?
Yeah, pretty clear.
Here's what's going to happen to me, guys. And he has his disciples around him, and he's telling them what lies up ahead. And it's not a pretty picture as far as his suffering and his death is concerned. Well, as he shares this, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, only Peter would do this,
yeah.
Rebuking the Lord Jesus, the one who created all things. Jesus, come here. I need to let you know a few things. But he said, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Now, you're knowing at this point that Peter's only heard a part of what Jesus has said, that he's going to be handed over, that he's going to suffer, and that he's going to die. Mm-hmm. He's heard that part loud and clear. And that's what he's reacting to.
Yes.
It's this be raised on the third day that didn't register in Peter's mind. Mm-hmm. In whose mind would really take that in and know exactly what Jesus was saying? Be raised on the third day? Yes, we've seen Jesus raise some people from the dead, but he's going to be raised? What does that mean? That they didn't know, they didn't have any point of reference to register that, to think that resurrection was really God's plan for mankind. And so Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Peter was looking at Jesus' words from his perspective, from a human perspective.
Yes.
So his human finite mind had never thought about the possibility of anything beyond death. Hope is alive and well as long as somebody's alive. But once somebody dies, all hope is gone. And we see that throughout the gospel stories. We even see in the resurrection scene, after Jesus has been raised from the dead, the women go to the tomb. They see that the tomb is empty, and they're not thinking, oh, he's alive, just as he said. They're thinking, who stole the body?
Yes.
And when Mary confronted Jesus or saw Jesus, she thought he was the gardener. And he said, please, please, if you know where they've taken his body, please let me know. Tell me. And once the disciples out there, they didn't believe it either, until they finally saw him. So this idea of resurrection escaped the disciples before the cross and well beyond the cross until the Holy Spirit was given to them. Once the Holy Spirit was given to them, their eyes were open. They stood up and boldly proclaimed that this Jesus whom you've crucified, God has raised back to life. And boy, that was the message. That's been the message for 2,000 years. That's God's perspective. God's plan always involved resurrection, putting an end to the old and bringing about the new through new creation, new life, that it comes through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. And that is good news, the same news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, everybody. It is just
Just an incredible message that God has given us to proclaim to you, and we thank you for joining us for this edition. Plenty of open lines. We'd like for you to really join us if you have a question, if you'd like to enter the conversation, and you can call right now, 844-322-2742, if you live in the U.S. or in Canada. That's a good number, 844-322-2742. I want to remind you also, friends, as we do so many times, when you give through Basic Gospel, you're helping to keep the good news on the air. And as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel, we'll say thanks, Todd, for your partnership with a gift for you. It's called God's Will for You, a brand new CD by Bob Christopher. Now, this message will solidify your assurance that within the new covenant, you're always in the center of God's will. No fear, no failure. A copy of God's Will for You is yours as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. And we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net. There's a big link right on the homepage, and we encourage you to click that, make your gift, and request your copy of God's Will for You. Again, that's at Basic Gospel, or you can phone 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. As you were talking about this great resource, when we talk about the new covenant, and that is God's will for you, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, this new covenant is a covenant of life. The old covenant brought about death, but the Spirit gives life. And that life is through the resurrection. So what is God's will for you? To experience resurrection life. And once a person does, you know, they'll never go back. So many people are trying to live the Christian life in the power of their flesh through human effort. It just never works out so well, does it, Richard?
No, it doesn't. And all three of us are living proof, but I won that battle. I nearly beat myself to death trying to live it on my own. And it wasn't until the resurrection got a hold of me that the thinking began to change, and I began to understand grace and this new covenant and the victory Jesus had over sin. There's nothing left for me to do.
Yes.
And you were talking at the beginning. I mean, if you are part of a church where your pastor isn't passionate about this, I'll guarantee you he has not come to terms with the power of the resurrection yet.
Right.
That's all you can say. It doesn't mean he's lost or anything, but until that becomes something that grabs you by the throat and never lets go, there's not going to be any passion.
No, none whatsoever.
Facts maybe,
yeah.
Explanation, but no passion.
Right. We had a post on Facebook and asked the question, what is your favorite Bible verse? And a number of people have responded. Somebody wrote Colossians 3, verses 2 through 4, which talks about, if then you've been raised to Christ, set your minds on things above, not earthly things. And it talks about Christ, who is your life.
Yeah.
So it's really all about resurrection.
Yeah.
Somebody else wrote Romans 5:10. Now that we've been reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled,
yes,
shall we be saved by his life? Once again, it's all about resurrection. So those who know the resurrection story, who have embraced that and who are walking in the newness of life through the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ, when you ask a question, what's your favorite Bible verse, they always point to those that
something about life,
that talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it is a wonderful, wonderful reality. It is the story of Christianity. It's the story that you never get tired of, as our friend Ravi Zacharias said. It's the perpetual novelty. Jesus Christ is the perpetual novelty. If you get bored with Jesus, you don't know the real Jesus. If you get bored with resurrection, you don't know the power of the resurrection. So if that's you, and it could be you, I mean, you may be listening today and think, well, I'm bored with Jesus. I get bored going to church. It doesn't seem relevant. It doesn't seem real. It doesn't seem authentic. Well, maybe it's because you've never encountered the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible.
Yeah.
Maybe you've never really thought about the resurrection. You've just believed it because that's what it means to be a Christian, but you've never thought about it in the depths of your own heart and soul. It's time to think about it.
Yeah.
Why? Because once you encounter the Jesus of the Bible and recognize that he's alive today, everything's going to change for you. You will never be bored again in your life. You may be bored with worldly things. You may be bored with the mundane of life, but you will never be bored with Jesus. You can't be.
No,
you cannot be bored with the God of this universe. He is the most dynamic, charismatic personality that has ever walked the face of this earth, head and shoulders above everyone else. I mean, think about him, you know, as he walked along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he called out to Peter and Andrew and said, come and follow me. I mean, something about his voice. They just clambered over the side and swam to the shore and said, hey, we're in.
See you, Dad. We're out of here.
That's right. Now, they had encountered Jesus before and heard him speak a little bit. But on that day, it was something so powerful that they just got out and said, yes, we're in. We don't care where you go, what you're going to take us through. We're in. That's how dynamic Jesus is. Peter never got bored with Jesus. None of the disciples ever got bored with Jesus, and they never got bored telling his story. They were even willing to die, and all of them did, except for John, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. So they were all persecuted because they believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only as an intellectual belief system, but they had actually encountered him. They actually knew the power of the resurrection. They knew it was true.
Yeah. Well, friends, if you're hearing the broadcast during the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, well, we encourage you to give us a call. We'd love for you to be a part of it. 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Had a question, guys, that was from Brad, who listens on One Place and on Facebook from Blountville, Tennessee. He says, I'm about to start the Apostles' Creed study in my small group. I have read through the creed, and although man-made, it seems pretty solid to me. I know that we should be able to give an answer to everyone who asks, as 1 Peter 3:15 states. I have two questions. First, do you think it's okay to have a creed to go by when giving your answer of hope to others? And number two, I think people get confused about Christ going to Sheol, and I admit I don't completely understand it, but I believe he did go to the place of the dead for those 3 days. Can you explain a little further for me? That's from Brad in Blountville, Tennessee.
It's an excellent question, and I think it's okay to have creeds. You know, I grew up reciting the Apostles' Creed every single Sunday. That was just part of the liturgy of our church, and there was something very positive in doing that. I think at that time, you know, growing up, they had taken out the part that he descended into hell, and that was okay because there's a lot of questions about that. What exactly does that mean? There are some people who teach that he went into hell to defeat Satan, to finish his work. So they're saying that his work on the cross, when he cried out, "It is finished," wasn't quite true, that he had to go down and defeat Satan on Satan's territory and to win the ultimate victory. But there's nowhere in the Word of God that even hints at that.
No.
Nothing whatsoever. He disarmed all rulers, all authorities at the cross. That's when he made a public spectacle of them. If he went into Sheol, it was to announce to the saints of old.
Yes.
So there was a division. There was the place for the unbelievers. There were a place for those who had been credited righteousness because of their belief in the coming Messiah. We call it the bosom of Abraham. We see
paradise.
Yeah. We see a story in Luke 16 about that. And so Jesus would have gone to them and announced the victory.
Yeah.
And he would have led them in a train. And as the enemy saw that, they would recognize the ultimate victory, the utter victory that Jesus had won and their defeat. And we see a couple of passages, Ephesians chapter 4 speaks to that. 1 Peter chapter 3 speaks to that a little bit as well. But we kind of have to piece that together. There's not a clear passage that really spells that out in detail. So we think that's what possibly occurred, that he went in, announced his victory to the saints of old, and ushered them into the heavenly realms where he was going to be. So when he said, today you will be with me in paradise, that shifted and became the heavenly realms.
Yes.
That's where paradise is today.
So the thing on creeds, if the creed that you believe is true enough, I mean, any human definition of anything is going to be short on some level.
Sure.
But if that creed serves as the outline for your belief system, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's not a good thing if you just spit it out there in about a second and a half because that's what you've memorized. You're not thinking if that's the case.
Rote.
It sounds like this guy and his Bible study group are thinking about it. What does this
yes.
stuff mean? Why is it important? That's a good thing.
Yeah. And there's a lot of songs that we sing
yes.
today that are basically creeds. Mm-hmm. We look at 1 Corinthians 15, the first few verses of that, where Paul says, I passed on to you what I received, that Christ died according to Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to Scriptures. That was an early creed.
Yes.
That was something that was formulated very early, maybe a year or 2 years following the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that was something that was being passed around in those days. So that was a creed. That was something that shaped the thinking and the belief system. But one thing that we sometimes tend to do with creeds, with doctrinal statements, we put those out as the things that we worship.
Yeah.
And it's not. We shouldn't worship those things. Those are just statements about what we believe concerning Jesus. Who we really believe
yeah.
is him. It's his story that we're walking in. So he became flesh and blood. He died a physical death, suffered mightily. He was raised physically. He ascended physically into the heavenlies. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So there was the real person, Jesus. That's who we trust in.
Yes.
He's the one that saves us, not the creed, not any doctrinal statement, Jesus Christ himself. So if these creeds help us understand Jesus in more depth, it's a good thing.
Yeah, sure is.
But
yeah.
never substitute a creed for Jesus.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Very quickly, an email from Amanda in Lincoln, California. Is it okay as a Christian mom to be working outside the home?
Well, there are many Christian moms that work outside the home. There's nothing in the Bible that prohibits that. But I think the big question here is not, is it okay? The real question is, what have you and your husband decided? It really is a marriage issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
If a mom's single, of course, she's going to have to work outside
uh-huh.
the home. Now, if you're married, you and your husband sit down and discuss that. And y'all decide together, because it really is a marriage issue more so than anything else. And if you believe that it's best for the mom to stay in the home for a certain period of time, make that decision.
Yeah, do it.
And you guys carry that out. If you think otherwise, carry that out as well. But just be together on it, okay? We don't need, just let the Holy Spirit lead. That's
yes.
that's the whole answer. Come together, ask what the Holy Spirit wants for you two in your family situation, pray about it, and then make your decision and move out.
Yeah. Well, guys, we want to remind our listeners once again that we are now streaming live video each day of the Basic Gospel radio program, and now video program to Facebook and YouTube. And if you'd like to see what it looks like as we actually do the broadcast, I'm not sure that's a good idea, but we would love for you to join us. You can do that. Your ticket is at Facebook.com/Basic Gospel and YouTube.com/Basic Gospel. We'd love for you to join us each day at 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. That's when the live broadcast occurs. We'd love for you to join us for that. Well, with your gift this month to Basic Gospel, as I said earlier, we're going to send you a copy of a new CD entitled God's Will for You by Bob Christopher. It's the message that Bob, in this message, Bob explains the new covenant in terms of a will. It's God's will, effective at the death of Jesus. And in that will, you're going to find everything that you need for a life of assurance. God's Will for You is yours with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. All you need to do to acquire yours is go online to BasicGospel.net. Click that prominent link right on the home page. Again, that's at BasicGospel.net. Or you can call 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Of course, course, that's the number that you hear us give throughout the broadcast every day. And it's good if you would like to make your gift to Basic Gospel, or if you'd like to pose a question, you can use that same number 24/7. And that, again, is 844-322-2742. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.